Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend and brother Rick Tyler couldn't be with us this evening, but what we plan to do is to run a sermon that was given a while back, and hopefully you will enjoy that. But before we get to the sermon, I just wanted to take a few moments and really say thank you to Ray Powers for helping us the way that he has, for continuing this program going through some times where there were some health issues, some things that were going on. We couldn't do some broadcasts, and he's been really, really gracious to Prophecies of Hope there on New Visions Radio. And our whole ministry is very thankful for Ray keeping those things going for us and keeping the programming going. And one thing that I wanted to say, too, is if you want to contact me, Mark Martin, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to contact Rick Tyler, you can reach him at rick@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names and you want to send us just a general email, or if you have a Bible question that you'd like to have answered, please don't hesitate to send us an email. You can send that to office@prophecyhope.com if you can't remember our name. Also, I wanted to remind you that each week we have a Sabbath school that's on the biblical Seventh-day Sabbath at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and that's on the website www.prophecyhope.com. And you can go there to the website. You can click on the link on the left-hand side of the screen. You'll see it there. It says Worship and Sabbath School, and you can tune in and stream live. You can actually watch and see the video in high definition on your computer. And also, we have a worship service that begins at 11 a.m., where we will have traditional hymns. We have prayer time. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to send in, we do pray for folks every week on Sabbath and on Wednesday night at our midweek study. If you live in the local area here in Stanton, Virginia, our church is located at 1743 West Beverly Street, and you are more than welcome to attend or come and meet with us anytime you like. And on the first and third Sabbaths of every month, we have a fellowship meal following the worship service. You can also find us on Facebook if you take a look there, or if you can't find us, you can go to the website, and there is a Facebook link there. So I just wanted to take a few moments, and again, I want to thank Ray Powers. Thank you, Ray, so much for what you've done for us, and we're looking forward to working with you in this new year of 2020. It's hard to believe it's here already. And I want to remind you that you can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So hopefully you'll continue to tune in, you'll hear some fresh material, and hopefully you can join us for Sabbath School and Worship. Now, this evening, what we're going to do is, since Rick's not here and we won't have a back-and-forth conversation, I thought we would just play a sermon that I gave a while back. I want to apologize in advance. There's a little bit of a hum that we were having problems with our PA system, and there was a little bit of a buzz in the recording. But hopefully that won't be too distracting. We have that fixed now. There are no problems now. The PA system sounds really good at the church. But the title of the sermon is called The Tablets. And just to kind of give you just a little bit of a background, perhaps, on that, it seems that more and more Christians seem to be coming to the conclusion that the Ten Commandments were changed when Jesus died. And the thing is, Jesus gave two commandments. And the question we want to answer are those commandments different from the Ten Commandments that God wrote on stone with his own finger? Are any one of the commandments more important than another? And are the Ten Commandments taught in the New Testament? So in this sermon, we address all of those things. But before we get started and before we start playing the sermon, I would like to open with a word of prayer. And then following the sermon, we'll have a few concluding remarks and we'll close with a word of prayer. So pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together, to be able to have the technology to hear a sermon, to be able to hear the Word of God, to hear your Word, Father, as we drive down the road or maybe we're taking a walk. And what a wonderful thing it is, the technology that you've given us. Father, may your Spirit guide and direct us. May we understand the things that are being preached. And Father, as always, may these things come straight from your word. May people believe it because it comes from your word, the Bible, and not from any man. So please be with us now as we turn our attention to your word, the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, just hold tight, and immediately following here, we will begin a sermon, and it is called The Tablets. The commandments of God seems to be something that the majority of the world has forgotten. When I talk to people, one of the things that I focus on in witnessing are, this, one of them is the Sabbath, because it seems to be something that people have forgotten. We're here on the Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath, the seventh day, and the majority of the world disregards that. Another commandment that much of Christianity has dismissed is the commandment about which God we worship. So the sermon title today is called The Tablets. If I say the tablet to someone of the young generation, they probably think of an iPad. If I say a tablet to someone older, they might think of taking a pill. But we're talking about the tablets. That's what my Bible calls the two stones that God wrote for Moses. How important are the commandments? Not just the fourth one, not just the first one. We're talking about all of them. People tend to think that, well, you guys that keep the seventh-day Sabbath focus only on the Sabbath. That's the only thing you've got is the Sabbath. But I've heard that so many times from so many people. But is that really where our focus is? Or are we trying to get people to focus on the ones that they're neglecting? That's what we try to do. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We don't do this very often, but we're going to read through Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We're just going to read the Ten Commandments. And this is what it says, Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We're going to be using our Bible a lot here in Exodus, so I'm going to advise you to please open it, because I don't have this on the PowerPoint. We'll be going to that in just a little bit. It says here in Exodus 20, and God spoke all these words. So this is God speaking. This is very important. Saying, verse 2, I am Jehovah your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We read about that this morning, didn't we? Took a little time talking about that in Sabbath school. Verse 3, this is the first commandment. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7 is the third commandment. You shall not take up the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Fourth commandment begins in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to Jehovah your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Fourth commandment. The longest of all the commandments. Verse 12 is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Jehovah your God is giving you. It's the only commandment with a promise. if you honor your father and mother, you can live a long time. I think I've told you before, my dad said, boy, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. If I didn't honor him, I might not live that long. Verse 13, you shall not murder. That's the sixth commandment. The seventh, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And last, and certainly not least, is the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. These are the 10 commandments. The commandments of God. They were written on the tablets. Now, I want you to notice, let's move along. Let's turn the page there and go to chapter 24. And I want you to see how important this was to God. So here in chapter 20, he speaks the commandments, doesn't he? And then in chapter 24, notice verse 9. It says, then Moses went up also, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hands, so they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then Jehovah said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. Now, a long time ago, I gave a sermon called Blue Commandments, and we talked about this. You notice in verse 8, it speaks about this, in verse 10, it speaks about this sapphire stone. And we talked about how Jehovah's throne sits on this sapphire stone, and the Ten Commandments were actually carved from the piece of that throne, what the throne sits on. So it's very likely that the Ten Commandments were blue. They were carved into sapphire stone from the very throne of Jehovah himself, what his throne sits on. The very foundation of his throne sits upon the commandments, we could say. His very character is reflected in the commandments, that character being love. We're going to sound this down more and more as we go through. And I find it very interesting that as we read through this, some of the things we see. Let's scan forward. Let's go to chapter 31 of Exodus, chapter 31. I'm going to read several verses here. I debated on whether to read just a couple, but I think it's important just to get the meaning of what this says. In chapter 31, verse 12, it says, and Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Jehovah who sanctifies you. Jehovah is the one who makes us holy. We can't make ourselves holy. He does that. It says in verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Jehovah. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. He takes this seriously, doesn't he? Verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Perpetual, never-ending, ongoing. You know, some people have what they call a perpetual timepiece or a perpetual watch. And as long as you keep moving, that watch will never stop. It's perpetual. It keeps moving. Now, some will argue, well, wait a minute, he gave this to the children of Israel, but we're told in Galatians fairly clearly that if we are Christ's, we are Abraham's seed. That makes us Israel. That's what the Bible tells us. So this goes for all of us.
Anyone who is Christ's. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel. That's you and I. And it says, for in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he, that's Jehovah, rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So I've said it before, you've heard me say it many times when we do the Bible series, Jehovah wrote this with his own finger. The only part of the Bible that was carved into stone by God himself, he didn't trust it to man just to put it in the paper. He carved it in stone. When you carve something in stone, it's permanent. It's forever. It's always. All 10 commandments. He was sounding down the Sabbath for a reason, because for some reason we just tend to keep forgetting that. But we're going to see that it's not just the Sabbath that's important. Is any commandment more important than another? No. Not one commandment is more important than the other. We tend to forget some more than others. And he obviously knew that this was something we would forget. Well, let's keep moving. If we look at chapter 32, we're right there. And if you remember, Moses was up on the mountain. And you remember what happened? They made a calf of gold. And he comes down with these tablets. And if you look at verse 15 in Exodus chapter 32, it says, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the 2 tablets of the testimony were in his hand. So he's carrying these sapphire stones. The tablets were written on both sides. Were you aware of that? On the front and the back. They were written on both sides, front and the back. It says on the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. In other words, Jehovah himself carved the tablets out of stone, and he wrote on them, not just on the front, but on the front and the back. There were 2 tables of stone. Now, some believe, and I can't preach this from, I can't say that this is in the Bible, but there are some. We know that a covenant is an agreement between 2 parties. We know that for sure. You can't have a covenant with 1 person. It has to be 2 parties involved. So when Jehovah makes a covenant with his people, anytime you sign a contract, if you purchase a house, or you purchase a car, whatever you purchase, when you sign that contract, you got a copy for the homeowner, you get a copy for the bank, sometimes the attorney gets a copy, it depends on how many parties are involved. Everyone involved in that agreement gets a copy of that. So it's the general thinking among many that the stones, there was possibly 2 stones written on the front and back, it says. We know there were 2. One was for God and one was for men. As a reminder, so each has a copy of the contract. It's a possibility. We don't know. I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven and we see the Ark of the Covenant in the heavens. Maybe we'll get a glimpse of it. I'm sure we can ask him and he'll explain it to us. So let's pick it up here. Look at verse 19, Exodus chapter 32. It says, so it was as soon as he, that's Moses, came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Well, this isn't good. He took these commandments and he throws them on the ground because he was upset. Now, keep in mind, he was coming down with these commandments to show to the people, to give to the people there, and they were worshiping an idol. Now, there are some that believe that the commandments didn't exist until he brought them down. But they knew that they weren't supposed to be doing this. The commandments have always been, we've talked about that before, because where there is no law, there is no transgression. If we don't have a law, you can't possibly be breaking the law. If I'm driving across the Midwest where there's no posted speed limit, can I be given a ticket for speeding if there's no speed limit posted? Can I be given a ticket for running through a stop sign at an intersection if there's no stop sign posted? No, I can't. So if the commandment that we shall not bear false witness didn't exist, it wouldn't have been wrong for Satan to lie to Adam and Eve. If the commandment, you shall not kill, didn't exist, it wouldn't have been wrong for Cain to kill Abel. If the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, didn't exist before they were given here, then Joseph wouldn't have said, how can I commit this great sin against God by sleeping with Potiphar's wife? Does that make sense? So the commandments have always been, since humanity has been here anyway. So let's pick it up here. Let's move along. Chapter 34 of Exodus. It says, and keep in mind, he had just broken the tablets. He throws them down. So what does God do? Look at verse 1 of chapter 34 of Exodus. It says, and Jehovah said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So who carved the first ones out of the stone? Jehovah did. Who carved the second ones out of the stone? Moses did. You see, personally, I think that God was teaching him a lesson. You don't destroy what I have made holy. Of course, Moses was distraught. Maybe this was his punishment. Could you imagine having to carve? You know, today we've got modern tools that do that stuff, but back then, how did he do it? It was a lot of work. And then who was going to write on them? Well, let's take a look. Verse 4. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first one. Then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai. This is chapter 34, verse 4. As Jehovah had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now Jehovah descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Jehovah. And Jehovah passed before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That sounds like God's character, doesn't it? Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, now if I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Moses recognized that people were not generally going to follow these commandments. He recognized it. We're sinners. It's difficult. The stuff's written in stone. I have to look at it and keep it. That's the way they had to do it, right? Well, notice verse 10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. So he makes this covenant. Verse 14. You shall worship no other God, for Jehovah, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Verse 17, chapter 34, you shall make no molded gods for yourselves. So here he's reiterating it, isn't he? Then in chapter 35, he reiterates the Sabbath commandment. So he goes through it all again. Jehovah is carving these in stone once again. So I'm going to ask again, is there any commandment that's more important than another? No. They're all of equal value. They're all of equal importance. Some are emphasized more because he recognizes we may forget them. But we as human beings have, we have the tendency to prioritize. Now, there is a priority to them. They're all of equal importance, but there are prioritized commandments. Remember, somebody asked Jesus, which is the most important commandment? He said, to love Jehovah your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, some Bibles say. And the second like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we prioritize who we worship. And if we have who we worship right, and we're following the commandments of God, that love for the neighbor is going to come naturally. It's just going to be there. So all through the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, we see this reiterated again. Everything that you see here is pronounced again. And all through the Old Testament, Jehovah keeps reminding people, keep my commandments, keep my statutes, keep my commandments, keep my regulations, follow my commandments over and over and over and over. I mean, if we went through the Old Testament and looked at all the times the commandments were there, you'd get tired of hearing it. Then you'd say, how can we forget these things? But these people walked and they saw the miracles that God did and they still forgot the commandments. All through the Old Testament. So what about the New Testament? A lot of people say, well, the commandments changed. And the reason, what brought this on was, I'm realizing more and more as I talk to people, as I witness to people, that it's not just the church that I grew up in that says that the commandments were done away with when Christ died. More and more churches are adopting that theory, that false teaching. That, well, you know, that was the old covenant. That was the Old Testament. Or we can't keep the commandments. Like, it just can't be done. God knew that, and that's why he did away with them. And that's why we've got the new covenant, which is just two commandments. So he's made it easier for us. You just love. If you just love, you're okay. As long as I love God and love my neighbor, and I love God and I love my neighbor, so everything's fine. And I'm finding this is more and more the theology in many churches. I've run into quite a few people lately that believe that the commandments are done away with, in the sense that we just read through them. So let's look at the New Testament. I've got some of these, all of these I put on PowerPoint. Just some of the ones that talk about the commandments. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, this is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. I want you to open to Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to look at a few things that are said here. And this is someone who approaches Jesus and he asks him a question. Now here in Matthew 19, just to kind of set the stage for you, the Jews were trying to trick Jesus, as they usually did. And somebody approaches him here. This is a rich young man. He comes up to Jesus and he asks him a question. And here it is, Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said to him, Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, what's he say? Keep the commandments. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, the ruler, he says, which ones? Which ones do I keep? So Jesus says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what he does is he sums up, he gives five of the Ten Commandments. He leaves one of the last six out that have to do with humanity. He sums those five up by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him in verse 20, all these things I have kept from my youth. I've done this. I know this. I grew up with this. I'm a Jew. Some people say, well, why didn't he enumerate the first four? He's just telling you why. He was Jewish. He was a rich young ruler. He knew who the one true God was. He wasn't going to blaspheme the name of Jehovah. He wasn't going to bow to a false god or an idol. And he was certainly a Sabbath keeper. Jesus didn't have to tell him that. Jesus knew that's what he was doing. So what's he do? He talks about the last six commandments. And he stops short. He stops short of the last commandment. And the the young man says, I've kept all of 9 of those commandments, the ones that you, I've done them all. But what does Jesus say to him? Take a look, verse 21. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, in other words, you've got 9 of them down. But if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So what was his problem? He coveted. He coveted. He desired something that wasn't his to have. He was putting another God, he was breaking another commandment by putting his things before God. But he said, I've got this. Well, I'm just breaking one. Well, wow, that goes back to what the Bible says. If you break one, guess what? You're breaking them all. It's very interesting to me when I read through this. Another account, just a couple of pages over, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And these things are very important. Verse 34. Now, this is, again, let me set this up for you. Jesus had been talking here, and he had talked to the Sadducees about the resurrection. I don't know if you know anything about the Sadducees, but they didn't believe in a resurrection. And how I remember that, I'll never forget, a friend of mine told me this. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. And that's sad, you see. So that's how you can remember that. So they didn't believe in a resurrection, and he had just talked to them about the resurrection. He was teaching this to them. And the scribes, who were ones who wrote things down, the scribes and Pharisees went together. Scribes were the ones who would actually transcribe the Bible. They would write it. And it was so important. What they would do is they would not only just write it down and proof text it, they would count every character, every dot, every cross of a T. They didn't necessarily have T's, but every character was counted. So scribes' work was very important. So it says here in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 22, but when the Pharisees heard that he'd silenced the Sadducees, because he was preaching the resurrection to them, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love, it's all capitalized in mine because he's quoting from the Ten Commandments. It says, you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the first and great commandment. And the second like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, this should tell us, friends, when we read this text, what was he doing? He wasn't saying that the Ten Commandments are done. He was saying, let me put it in a package for you. If you're keeping the first 4 commandments, you love Jehovah your God. And if you're keeping the final 6 commandments, you're loving your neighbor as yourself. So he simplified it. Let me make this easy for you, he's saying. You stiff-necked Pharisees. But he didn't say it like that. He was kind. He was loving. He tried to make it easy for them. Well, let's look at some other New Testament verses that speak about the commandments and see if we think, so far, you know, Jesus hasn't died yet when we're reading these things, right? He was still alive. He hadn't died and been resurrected yet. So he's still preaching the commandments. He's still saying they're important. These are vital. You need to know these if you want eternal life. This is part of the character of my Father, is what he's saying. So let's continue on. John chapter 14. Did I hit that right or hit it twice? There we go. John chapter 14, verse 15 in the PowerPoint. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Does the Father give everything to Christ? If it's the Father's, is it the Son's? So Jesus can say, keep my commandments. They're his. He kept them. That was John 14, 15. Next verse, John 14, 21. Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So if you have the commandments, you have Christ. And if you have Christ, you have the Father. And if you keep the commandments, he's going to reveal himself. Let's continue. This is before Jesus has died, before he paid the price. He says again in John 15, verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." But let's see if the commandments were done away with after Jesus died. Here's another text, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is Paul writing. He says, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters." Which commandments? The two? Which are the ten? Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 14:37. "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write to you." "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So Paul's preaching the commandments this whole time. 1 John chapter 2. It says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Any particular commandment that I can sweep under the rug? No. Not one. Not one. Another text. 1 John chapter 3. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Next, 1 John 3:24. "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him." So you notice the capitalization there. Now he, that's the person who keeps his, that's God's commandments, abides in God and Christ, and he, that's Christ, in him. Because if we have the Spirit of the Father, we have the Spirit of the Son. "And by this we know that he abides in us." Who dwells in us? Right? Christ does. "By the Spirit whom he has given us." So again, we see the commandments throughout Scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." How can people say that this has been done away with? We're almost to the last book of the Bible here. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it." Well, let's move to the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 12. "And the dragon," that's the devil, "was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Why is he waging war against God's people? Because they want to show and reflect the character of Christ, the character of the Heavenly Father. Satan hates this. If you are keeping the commandments of God, the adversary is going to be nipping at you all the time. Revelation 14:12. "Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." One last verse, Revelation 22:14, last chapter of the Bible. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." So are the things that were written on those tablets still valid? Yes, they are. And it seems overwhelming because we say, how do I do it? How do I do it? You know, they were written in stone. But remember, where are they written now? We've talked about this over and over. I told you, we're going to keep talking about it. Because if they're written in our hearts, it's going to come natural. Do I still fall? I do. Daily. But I believe the closer I get, the closer I come, the more I allow Christ in my heart, He'll get us to where He doesn't have to pick us up and dust us off anymore. He'll get us there. I can't get myself there. So I guess what I'm asking is, how are these tablets viewed by some? How are they viewed by people in the world? You know, as we look through those things, I want to show you a picture. I think I've showed this to you before in a series that I did. These are 10 commandments that are on display in Memphis, Tennessee. I took this picture myself. Tanya and I were in Memphis a couple of years ago, and this was in a park. And they actually, it's an abbreviated form of the commandments. They have them there. And you'll notice that they're carved in stone. And this is a nice little monument that they have in this beautiful park right next to the Mississippi River. In Memphis, I believe that's the Mississippi River there in Memphis, because you cross it and you go into Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken. And it's beautiful. When we went there, I had to get a picture of it. And the reason I took this picture was not just because it was Ten Commandments carved in stone, but if you notice on the bottom of that monument, I think it says that that was put there in 1952 by the J.C.s. The J.C.s of Memphis put that there. And later on, as this park was developed more and more, I want you to notice what they put in front of it. Right in front of the monument. Put a pole right there. There's always somebody working against God. And it gets even worse. You know, there have been attempts in the recent times, in the recent years, in the recent months even, to get rid of these commandments. That's just, you know, we don't need them. It's a horrible reminder of this horrible God of the Old Testament, this bloodthirsty God. I've heard people say that. So you have things like this, you probably recall. New York Times article had this picture, and here's, I'm going to read exactly what it said. It says, years of fighting over a Ten Commandments monument on the grounds of the Oklahoma Capitol came to a quiet end as workers removed the display late at night and trucked it away. It came in at 10 o'clock at night. The light that you see there is coming from behind the one worker. This wasn't daytime. This was at nighttime. And you know the big bright lights the state uses out on the highway? That's what they had here so they could see what they were doing. They didn't want to miss anything, so they put their bright lights out there, and then here they are taking it up with a crane. You can see behind there that it's dark. And it actually went on, and it said in that article of the New York Times, it says they were facing a court order to remove the carved granite slab in Oklahoma City starting after 10 p.m., and a work crew using cutting tools and a crane took a little more than an hour to dislodge the 2.5-ton monument and load it onto a flatbed truck to haul it away. Getting rid of the commandments. Getting rid of the tablets. You know, we see that today. How many people do you know that are worshiping a false form of God, breaking the first commandment? Look around the world and see what people are bowing to, how they venerate these TV stars, music stars, movie stars. They put sports above everything else. We put jobs before our God. All these things come in the way. And when we do that, it's as if we are bowing to something other than our Heavenly Father. They take up the name of God in a worthless way. They'll swear by the name of God. I don't think when you go into court anymore, you put your hand on a Bible. You know, I was watching something just last year, a year and a half ago, and it was a live court case that I was very interested in. Somebody had been brought up before the Australian Royal Commission over in Australia, which is it's like being brought up to the Supreme Court in the United States. And they took a Bible and they made the man put his hand on the Bible and swear an oath. They don't do that here anymore. Raise your right hand. And they even take the name or the title God out of the oath that you take. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? They don't say, so help you, or so help me, God. It's gone. Completely gone. As far as the Sabbath day, we see that most of Christianity, it's not surprising that most of the world, but most of Christianity has just wiped it away. Honoring your father and your mother, I mean, just the other day I heard in the news that somebody stabbed his grandmother to death. In turn, he stabbed his mother to death. I mean, where's the honor? You shall not murder. There's another one. You shall not commit adultery. You know, one of the reasons that the divorce rate in the United States is over 50%, the main cause is adulterous affairs. Number one. You shall not steal. Well, it's not going to matter if I just take this pen from the bank. They're not going to miss it. Well, this machine only dropped an extra quarter. It's amazing how when you take that quarter to the cashier, you know, I went to the auto checkout and it dropped 27 cents just the other week. And too much. It was too much change. And I just went over, there was a young man working. He just kind of monitors the area. I was in a grocery store. And I said, the machine dropped 27 cents too much, and I handed it to him. He goes, thank you. He was shocked. He couldn't believe it. And I've been in there twice since, and every time I'm there, he says, hey, how are you doing? I don't know who the guy is, but he recognized me. It's shocking. 27 cents. It wouldn't break the store if I would have taken it. But see, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. The little things, they're going to make a difference. Just think about that when little things in life come up. You shall not bear false witness. This happens all the time. Who's telling the truth? You watch the news, you hear a report, you form an opinion, but you're hearing two stories. Somebody's lying. Chances are they're both lying. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Shall not covet your neighbor's goods. His house, anything that he has. Covetousness is what causes a lot of the problems that we have today, people coveting. So the tablets, not the iPad, not the pills, but these tablets that are written with the finger of God, the tablets that are unchangeable, carved in stone, they're eternal, tablets that reflect the character of God, carved from the stone beneath the throne of God. Characters that reflect not only stones that reflect not only his character, but show us who God is, the God of love. The God of love. The tablets. So we talked about the two greatest commandments, which are the 10 summed up. We've talked about the tablets that God carved with his own finger. You know, the doctor might tell you, take two tablets and go to bed. Right? You don't feel better? Call me in the morning. Well, I'd say, take two tablets of stone and allow God to carve them in your heart. Allow his son to come into your heart. That's how he carves them in your heart. And then you can live for eternity.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed that sermon. I gave that sermon back in February of 2019. And I've actually expanded on that quite a bit. There was another sermon that I gave where we talked about the Ten Commandments in the book of Genesis. And it's kind of interesting to go through that and see that. And there are a lot of sermons. I want to invite you to go to our website, prophecyhope.com, because you'll find hundreds of sermons there, not just by me, but by our brother Rick Tyler and brother Ed Short. And Ed, I think Ed has done a program with us before. We're going to try to get him on the air more often, try to get him in here in the studio to share with you all. You know, Ed does a really, really nice Bible study. And most of the time when you tune in on Sabbath, which is Saturday, I think I forgot to say that earlier, when you tune in on Sabbath, you'll find that most of the time Ed Short is the one who teaches Sabbath school, but not always. He doesn't always do it, but he really does a nice Sabbath school. He leads the Bible study most of the time on Wednesday nights. We have a Bible study and prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And you're always, again, invited to join us. Sabbath school and worship, again, is streamed every Sabbath morning from 9:30. Sometimes it goes to about 12:30 or so. And, you know, it's really enjoyable when we get together and we worship together, we share. And, again, the camera's overhead, so you kind of get to see everyone from overhead. And we have, like, a community mic right in the middle of the table. If you haven't tuned in, I want to invite you to do that. Also, I want to let you know that on the website, there are a number of Bible prophecy series that we've done. This ministry was formed in 2012, and each year, beginning in 2012, every year since, in the fall, we do a prophecy series, a Bible prophecy meeting. Now, you'll notice that some of those lectures are repeated sometimes. Some of them are using different titles. And one of the things that you'll notice is if they are repeated sermons, they're a little bit different each time. Now, I want to tell you that this year, coming up in 2020, in October, this series is going to have a lot of Bible prophecy, a lot of things from Daniel and Revelation, a lot of questions that come up in these texts, and a lot of these things are going to be addressed. We're going to take a look and kind of overlay the book of Daniel and Revelation and see how they really fit hand in glove. And I think you would enjoy that if you tune in for, and that's another thing, we do stream that series live. I just want you to know that. And so we'll be letting you know. One other thing I wanted to share with you is we have been writing Bible study guides. And they're basic Bible study guides, and they kind of take you from kind of a layperson's point of view, and then they get more and more advanced as they go on. And I think you would enjoy some of those. One of them is Can the Bible Be Trusted? Another one is called Did God Make a Devil? The one that goes along with this sermon you just heard is called Carved in Stone. And one of them has to do with, does the Bible teach eternal burning hell, or is does hellfire really exist today, is the title of the sermon. And I think if you take a look at these study guides, if you want a copy of them, just email us, or you can mail us through regular mail, and we'll be happy to send those to you free of charge. We love providing Bible study materials for people. Again, remember that you can contact me, Mark, and my email address is mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to contact our brother Rick Tyler, his email address is rick@prophecyhope.com. Also, friends, don't hesitate to send in your Bible questions. We have several that we're going to start answering on our next broadcast. Rick and I will address at least one of those every week. We're going to try to deal with a different one every week. So if you have sent in a question, you may listen, and you'll probably hear your question covered somewhere along the way. And even if it's not a question that you have asked, many times people ask the same questions because we all wonder about certain things. We just don't have the answers. So we always take it from a biblical perspective. If we don't know the answer, friends, we're not going to guess. We'll tell you we don't know the answer. But most questions that people ask, the answers can be found in the Bible. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank, again, Ray Powers at New Visions Radio. Thank you so much, Ray, for all you do for us. And you can join us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on New Visions Radio. So to close out this evening, I would like to say a word of prayer, and then we will sign off. So pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to come together, to be able to listen to this broadcast, to be able to open your word, the Bible, Father, and see what you have planned for us, that we can see that you carved your commandments in stone, that these are never changing, just like you and your Son. So, Father, please be with us, guide us and direct us until we come together the next time. Father, we're grateful for every gift that you have given us, and we thank you for all of these things. And we pray a blessing upon each person that's listening, and may you bless their homes, may you bless their families. And Father, we're just so grateful for the gifts you've given, especially in your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So friends, again, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.